the shadows in the valley here below. He sees one tiny flower as its beauty softly glows. He never fails one time, each tiny detail he controls. Yes, God is in the shadows, He is everywhere I go. Yes, God is in the shadows, in the valley here below. He sees one tiny flower as its beauty softly glows. He never fails one time, each tiny detail he controls. Yes, God is in the shadows, He is everywhere I go.
Hallelujah. Can't go wrong with a prayer like that if we mean it. That's what we're here for, isn't it? For God to have His way. How many know His ways are sometimes different than our ways? Somebody said wisely that that's where the cross comes. Where our will crosses His. And we get to make a choice, don't we? I'm thankful to God. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. I'm just going to read one verse. And I just want to greet everyone in the name of the Lord. It's been up until about 6 weeks ago, I could have said you're seeing more of me, but you're actually seeing less of me today because I somehow managed to lose 20 pounds. And they say, Lord, you must have been awful fat, but I still look pretty good. I'd like to lose 20 more, but hey, we'll take 20. If 20 is what, I got 21 pounds, I think. So we're, main thing you have to do, this is really not rocket science. It's, you know, I had this problem when my elbow bends, my mouth opens. Like this. You get, so you, and you, we all have our struggles. That's mine. Mine is, I struggle to keep my weight up. So I eat plenty of sweets. And, that's been the hardest thing. Once you cut that out of your life, I could probably, coast for another 10 or 15 pounds. But anyway, just good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Nonetheless, Matthew chapter 10. Well, you were turning on this. All right. Now I'm just going to pull this one verse out. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you that we, above all the people on the face of the earth at this end time, have freely been given the Word of God, the truth made manifest in this end time. And Lord, our hearts are humbled that you chose us to be recipients of your eternal Word. And the restoration of that bride tree, as it were, Lord, we thank you that you had something in mind for each of us sitting here, Lord. Not just the other day you thought, well, maybe brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so will make a good whatever, but you had a plan. And Lord, help us to just relax in your plan and what you've already manifested in us. If you never do another thing for us, Lord, and in us and through us, we can praise you throughout eternity, but we know as long as we're here, we have a job to do. And we pray, Lord, that you help us be the embodiment of that scripture tonight, that we have freely received. May we be able to freely give. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. A little bit hoarse. I'm not usually this grovelly, but we'll ask the Lord to... Maybe we'll get through... why do we struggle? It's an age-old question. And I'm not talking to anybody out there that has somehow bypassed the trials of life. I don't think anybody, if you have, I want to talk to you afterwards. Maybe you're not looking good, not looking right, because we all have pressures. Jesus said the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, how many are everys out there? Amen. Does that include you? Amen. Or how many are whosoevers? Oh, yeah. That includes me. He said, every man presses into the kingdom. Now, I'm not going to go the normal route. I use that scripture as a springboard because there's something that we have all sitting here freely received, but we find it a struggle many times to freely give it back. Let's just go to Ephesians 2, and I want us to look at. I want us to keep in mind that our walk with God is laden with gifts. How many can say amen? It's not. Can you earn your way to be a part of this lovely bride? If you could do it, a lot of us would miss it because there's a lot of better earners out there, people that can do more, jump higher, run faster in the kingdom, spiritually speaking. But it has nothing to do with any of those things. All he asked us, and the principle is, the whole walk with Jesus is a gift. The ability to believe, as we'll see here in Ephesians chapter 2. If I stop talking, I can find this scripture. For by grace, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. That's loaded. He's not saying that grace is a gift, because if you want a good definition of grace, it is gift. He's not saying that grace is a gift. He's saying the ability. Now notice it says, we're saved by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, those don't get you anywhere anyway. Jesus said, your righteousness, my righteousness, is as filthy rags. That's the best we can do. Now, but we got to read verse 10, don't we? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice here or on the internet that doesn't want to do good works? Everybody's hand goes up. Because we're created in him unto good works. It's him. And when we get all, when it's all said and done, we're not going to be able to stand back and thump our suspenders and say, Lord, didn't we do good? We're going to recognize that it's a gift. If you can believe the message of that, I heard a little brother testify how much he appreciates this message and the truth of this hour. There's no way to thank God enough. Because we were all dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead in the denominational world that has crucified the Lord of glory once again. And God in His mercy allowed you, by His grace, not because He thought you'd be a good little message believer. Don't want to hurt your feelings. Many of you are neat little good message believers, and I'm not saying that you're not. But God predestined you to a life. And He said, Jesus said, except the Father draw you, it will be really hard for you to come, but if you try hard, you might make it. He said, except He draws you, you can't come. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to get ahead of my story a little bit. But except He allows you to be freely receive something, you ain't no way you're going to be able to freely give. It's all Him. Oh, I was such a wonderful Christian. It's such a wonderful, it's so such a privilege to serve Him, but it's all Him. I was just witnessing to an individual recently and struggling with basic, what kind of God would put us on this earth, knowing that we would choose, make wrong choices, and then judge us for it. Now, I've shared this with you before, but a lot of people struggle with the fact of a sovereign God. What I just said, that when I say it's all God, except He draws you, nobody comes. You see, someone told me, I heard a preacher many years ago, and he said, when they start sharing the sovereignty of God and let God be God, you know, and He works all things after the counsel of His own will, that's scripture. He said, that's not fair. And he said, you're right. It's not fair. He said, can I tell you what's fair? That we all go to hell. I don't want the fairness doctrine in my walk with Jesus. I want His mercy. And he said, picture this doorway. And there's a door. And you're on this side, and over that door it says, whosoever will may come. And you know instinctively that beyond, on the other side of that door is salvation, is peace with God in the presence of God. And you walk by that maybe for years, and whosoever will may come. One day, by the act of your will, nobody is holding a gun to your head, you put your hand on the door and you walk in, and sure enough, everything that you thought was behind that door and more was there. And you're in the presence of God, enjoying salvation, enjoying sins forgiven. And you turn around and look over that same door from God's side, and it said, predestinated before the foundation of the world. You see, we try to think God's thoughts, and with these little pea brains we have, let's just receive what God has for us and take His word. Both are true. He predestinated, but you freely chose. Now, dear beloved, God gave Cain an opportunity to freely choose. Did he choose? He couldn't. But that's not why God sent him to hell. No one will go to hell because they weren't predestinated. They freely choose to reject Christ and His word. And we're in an age that's kind of unique, very unique, because this is the age upon whom the ends of the world are come. And if we want to camp out, there are many places to camp out along the journey. How many can say amen? The children of Israel had to move when God moved. Is that right? When the pillar of fire moved, they said, nobody could say, you know what? Honey, I kind of like the schools here and the neighborhood's pretty safe. I think we'll just stick around here and just let them go on. Well, with the pillar of fire also was protection. The Bible says that the beasts of the field would devour. And all those things, with obedience and walking with Jesus, freely choose. But God works in us, the Bible says, both the will and the do of His good pleasure. Paul, I mentioned this last time I preached. I said, maybe it was up in Edmonton, I can't remember. And Paul asked the question, where is boasting? That's a fair question, isn't it? Paul's answer was, it's excluded. It ain't there. Yeah, we get pretty smug sometimes because, after all, we go to BCF and we have one of the most wonderful, God-loving, caring pastors. Amen. that you could ask for, but it's still His grace. God in His mercy, set us in a place. Many of you out there have been much longer than I am. I'm just looking at the calendar today. This month, I'll have wandered into the church across the way 17 years ago. I'm getting old. But some of you, Ed Yingst was in his 70s. Now he's past 90. That's pretty scary. We're all, dearly beloved, just look around. Let's be honest. We're all growing old together. I got an 11-year-old granddaughter. And I was back in the 70s, I wasn't sure that my kids would ever reach age 10 before the rapture. God has a sense of humor. But He's not going to bring, He's going to work all things out to the counsel of His will. Now, it's His will, it's His pleasure to show you and to give you the kingdom. What comes with the kingdom? Oh, we found out that Jesus is not some doctrine on the front of the wall like in our Southern Baptist churches that I was a part of when I was a teenager. They had the coat, you know, the statement of faith or whatever. Or in the Pilgrim Holiness Church I was raised in, they had a big manual that told how much of the Bible they didn't believe. Well, the manual doesn't say that, but the Bible says. You see, the pillar of fire moved on, and we just happened to come in after the prophet had gone and was able to embrace what as God was moving. Now we can get proud, or we can keep the attitude, I've freely received this, I want to freely give. Amen. Not this message is not a puff me up stuff shirt message. This will let the air out of your balloon in a hurry. Because how many, if you've been in the message more than a month, you figured out that all your Baptist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Catholic friends don't think too much of your prophet. They don't want to freely receive anything you got. I had as everybody knows, I do a lot of marriage counseling. That's kind of where I've seemed to settle and enjoy it. And I was sharing with a family member. And I probably, this young lady used to be, I preached a funeral of her mother-in-law. Oh, wait a minute, that'd be a grandmother-in-law. And which happened to be my aunt. and she came up afterwards and I shared some of the things, from things that we take for granted from the message, some of the things that I had freely received. Just didn't say Brother Branham said. And she came up to me, well, I'm going to use that. And I said, and I come to find out later, she fashioned herself to be a woman preacher. And in the conversation, I got to find out she's counseling. And I said, have I got some material that you're really going to enjoy? She said, email me when you get home. Here's my email address, and I'll send it to you in the mail. Weeks went by, and we just had a really, I thought, boy, this would be good for her. She, because most of her ministry was counseling marriages, Christian marriages. And months went by, weeks went by. I emailed back, and no response. And I thought, here I'm wanting to freely give her something that I know would help her, but something's clogging the line. Come to find out, she did a little research on our little church here and on William Branham and didn't want to get tainted with William Branham's reputation, even though I had something she really wanted, because of my association with the message of the hour, it was off limits. That broke my heart. But nonetheless, and probably the deal killer was that Brother Branham said women ain't got no business in the pulpit. I mean, I kind of figured, well, if she really knew what I believed, she probably would just drop me like a hot tater. But I still wanted to share. So the point is, we're not the most popular people in the neighborhood. In fact, if you take a stand for anything concerning holiness and the word of this hour, it makes you're a bit of a standout, all right. Not in God's kingdom, you're beloved. But we've got a message that is dynamite. It's not meant to be pink lemonade, Melba toast, sugar-free Coke. Okay? Because the Word of God is sharp, powerful, even to the dividing of soul and spirit. So I'm preaching to the choir tonight because y'all been around enough to realize that I'm just going to follow Jesus because by His grace He's allowed me to freely receive something. Now there's a where I'd like to go. That word freely give. That's an interesting Greek word. It literally means gift. So we're called as disciples of Jesus Christ. Now you could take the denominational interpretation of that passage. Well, that was the original 12 disciples. All that ended. That ain't for today no more. All the miracles ended with the death of the last apostle. I don't know what devil in hell ever perpetrated that on God's people, but that is the biggest lie that ever hit the big time. And what turned my life around as a backslidden teenage young messing with drugs and turned my back on the denomination church that I was raised in, that I bumped into a bunch of people that just took God at His word, and they were getting miracles, healings. Lives were being transformed. Mine was transformed. I didn't have to go through any kind of detox for 6 weeks, which is, if you had to do, that's fine. But what I got up from that beanbag chair in 1972, January the 29th, 10 minutes after 1 in the a.m., alcohol, cigarettes, drugs, gone forever. That's the transforming power of God. And I called my mom up on the phone and said, "Mom, I found something that's going to see me through to the end. This isn't going to wear out. I got a hold of Jesus and He's got a hold of me. I don't understand what has happened to me, but all I know is this is real." I didn't know that I was going to have several stops along the way before I really got what was real. Some of you we could tell stories today, couldn't we? But I freely received. And you know, the people who were sharing with me, I had a beard down to here, hair down below my waist, patches on my jeans. I thought I was cool. They didn't care about none of that. They just wanted me to meet the Jesus that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Jesus who is alive, not a doctrine in a church manual somewhere that's not for today. They didn't have anything that was for today. They said, "It's all true. Let's take God at His word." God filled a 19-year-old young man's cup that day. Better than I deserved. Yep. I freely received. But for a purpose. I'm going to come back to my two. Some of you, everybody knows about it by now, but there might be a few people here. I have a two preacher doctrine for those of you who just want to go to heaven. If all God wanted to do was populate heaven, there would be two ministers in every church. One to lead you in a profession of faith and the other to shoot you so as you go home. Okay? You say, "Well, I'll never forget that, Brother Bob, but I want you to don't forget it tomorrow when God is calling you to be a witness." He never told the disciples to go to Jerusalem so you could witness for me. Oh, you said, "Why?" Well, I think He did. No, He didn't. He said, "So that you can receive, be endued from power, with power from on high, so that you may be a witness." How many knows there's a difference? Amen. How many knows that? In fact, the person who shared this message with me, he just witnessed to me. But that doesn't matter. It's still the Word of God. And that seed in my heart says, "Yes!" I've never been the same. But he himself is in a shambles today. The man who prayed with me on the yellow beanbag chair in 1972, January the 29th, on a Saturday night, actually Sunday morning, ultimately went into what they call the era of ultimate reconciliation. He literally believed. Last time I talked to him, it's been many years. He's old enough to be my dad, so he's most likely gone. Unless God got a hold of him, he believed that even the devil was going to be ultimately reconciled and saved. What did God use? God used a vessel. It doesn't matter. You see, if the Word of God is the Word of God, then it's going to cut your heart. I was ready. God had prepared this vessel. When I pulled up into that, I don't know why I'm doing this. When I pulled up into the driveway, my cousin and I were driving. I was there reluctantly. I had tried to get high that day. Me and my cousin smoked some really good stuff. And I was straight as a pin, and I knew I was scared to death inside, and I had agreed to go to this prayer meeting just to see, you know, just to see. I never did smoke in front of my parents, and I pushed a cigarette out the 63 Chevy Biscayne. You know, they had the little vent windows, and I pushed the butt out, and I reached in my pocket. I was going to hide the cigarettes. I didn't want to go in a church meeting or in a prayer meeting with cigarettes in my pocket, and I pulled it out, and it was empty. And something just spoke to my heart. I was trembling inside. You don't suppose that's my last one? I'm here to tell you it was. But who did that? It was not because I was all just happened to be at the right place at the right time. God had a plan. Now, I don't know if I'm fulfilling his plan, but I'm trying my best to do what he wants me to do. And in your plan and my plan is the same. Freely you have received, freely give. Not find a rocking chair in an old folks home and wait till a hole opens up in the sky. Because after all, we believe the message and Brother Brown's a prophet. And I'm not preaching to the choir there. I know that we all struggle. Sometimes I feel like the laziest bum, spiritually speaking, that ever walked in shoe leather. If you ever think you've finally arrived, then you better check up. There's something the Bible says we're called to press. And if you're losing the press, something's wrong. But if you think you can coast on in glory, hallelujah, all the way, I got this thing figured out, you might be in trouble. Because we got to have a channel. Someone said, what is it's tithes and offerings? And one of the things that really that I really had to adjust when I came in the message was the fact that tongues wasn't the evidence. And the other one was we didn't believe that New Testament taught tithing. You see, when you give your money, And it's really not yours, but you didn't. It takes you a while to figure that out. He just kind of lets you hold it for a while. If you don't think it's his, try hoarding it and see what happens with it. The Bible says riches will take wings. I know some very wealthy people, and they keep the channel open. And so God knew before the foundation of the world who he could trust with riches. And that's another subject. But every time we give offerings and tithes to the work of the kingdom freely. Remember, freely receive, freely give. That's another one of those areas. Of course, that may not be for today. But it's very, very convenient in the charismatic movement because we said, well, New Testament doesn't teach tithing. Well, I'm sorry to tell you. But that's a constant, that's a monthly, weekly, ever how often you do it. That's a regular reminder that you need him. Will you ever outgrow your need for Jesus every day? Will you ever outgrow your need to keep freely receiving so you can freely give? Now, why is it? Now, we're talking about gift. And I believe the crux of what I want to say tonight is recognize that everything we have in Christ and in the kingdom of God is a gift. The very ability to believe the word is a gift. Grace means gift. We're saved by grace through the gift that God gives you to believe the word of God. How many people do you know, just do the calculation in your mind right now. How many people do you know that do not, cannot, will not believe the message and believe the word of the hour? And yet you just say, got no problem with that. Who did that? Jesus did that. Amen. Did he do it so you could just sit on your easy chair and wait for a hole to open up in the sky when the rapture goes? Or did he have a plan? Yeah, his plan is very simple. If you freely receive something, you got to give it back or the channel gets blocked. It's a cycle. Freely receive, freely give, freely receive, freely give. Well, I'm not sure if that's for today, Brother Bob, after all. I believe Brother Branham was a vindicated prophet. Amen. What does that have to do with whether you're going to freely receive and freely give? What does that have to do if you're going to avail yourself to the kingdom of God, to the wooing of the Spirit, to the leadership of the Holy Ghost? I'm 59 years old, my last birthday. I ain't liking it none, but I don't think I can go back. Pretty sure I can't. Until that day. And then there's a 19 or 20 year old curly-headed believer named Bob that's going to run all over the place. But right now, I've got to press. And so I'm not sure I like that either. But I just want to do what... how many times do you pray? Lord, I just want to be your servant. Oh, how do you be a servant? Jesus said, if you're going to be my servant, you're going to be a servant. I mean, if you're going to be a... if you're going to be great, you got to be a servant. Did Jesus show us how to do that? Do you remember that? I think this was, I forget who this was, maybe Gene, the book I read many years ago. And if we look at the circumstances of Jesus' life, he chose. Now, he was God in flesh, and he chose the road to Calvary. He chose the suffering, knowing what was coming. Now, the human, the man part of Jesus struggled, sweat drops of blood, said, oh, if there's any way, let this pass. It'd be great, Lord. I've never done it, and you've never asked me to do anything, and I didn't just pretty much immediately say yes. But this is tough. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine. And so he chose the road of suffering because he knew that was the only way he could win the lost souls. If there was another way, I don't know how he'd do it. You see, now that we're on this side of the Calvary, of the crucifixion, what incredibly smart theologian came up with the idea that if you do this, do that, do this, do that, you're going to earn your position in the kingdom? You see, Brother Branham said, Israel made a fatal mistake. And I've said this before, you only get one of those. If you have a fatal car accident, it's your last one. Brother Branham had a fatal car wreck. He didn't drive a car no more. God took him home. But he said, Israel made a fatal mistake. He said they wanted something they could do into it. Now that's human nature. I want to do those things which are pleasing in the sight. That's it. But I cannot produce something unless I receive something. That's the principle. If you haven't received forgiveness today, if you're struggling with forgiving yourself, if that's possible, and I don't think it is, but that's we understand when we say that. If you're struggling with receiving Christ's forgiveness for your life, for your sin, for your whatever, I'm going to tell you, your wife will never get your mercy. She can't. You can't give it to her because you haven't received something. You can't give it. You see this? You see how? See, the channel has to stay open. What if God made me a millionaire? Maybe a rich relative that I didn't know I had. I don't think I have any rich relatives. And it left me millions of dollars. So I just parked that in the bank. Say, hey, amen. God's a blessing, isn't he? Well, what's something wrong with that picture? What did I do to earn that money? Nothing. So if I want to keep the channel open, then I got to put that money to use in the kingdom. Amen. You see, the problem in the church of the living God, and I want to say this message, is it not? There's not a shortage of money. There's a shortage of freely receivers, freely giving. Amen. I don't know if I'll probably. I heard a man say once, "We're thousandaires." I guess I'm a thousandaire, but I got a wealth that money can't buy. Amen. And if God happens to let some money pass through my hands, I want to make sure that it does just that, passes through my hands. Some of you, when we talk about money, that's an issue where you get a little too close to home, Brother Bob, because we all have money. And someone says, well, rich man's hard to enter the kingdom. That's true. But you can not have a nickel. Two nickels to rub together, as my mother would say. And have a problem with money. Amen. And so God's not going to open the floodgates of heaven materially for you if he knows it's going to be consumed upon your own lust. Right. When Chad got up the other, it was last weekend, or last Wednesday, I wanted to crawl under the table because he said, I'm so ashamed. Right. as much as God has blessed us in this nation, and to go to the Philippines, when those people work extra jobs so they can go on missionary trips. That's freely receiving and freely giving. God doesn't bless you so you can say, I got millions and millions of dollars. Isn't God a good God? He wants that channel open. It's not a vicious cycle. It's a glorious cycle. Someone says you can't outgive God. Do you believe it? Well, the rubber meets the road is what are you receiving and what are you giving? Now listen, Brother Bob, I'm not the one with all the answers. I got all the questions inside, and I'm saying, are you listening, Bob? Because there's something about, the older I get, the more I realize, you know what, I may have 20 years, I may not. And if I'm at Yanks, I might have 30 years or 35. But I want them to be pleasing to him. It doesn't matter if my neighbors understand me or if my friends think I'm smart. What does he think? What am I doing with what he's given? Now, I'm going to shift gears here because it's hard for us to receive a gift. You ever come to church, you got a new shirt and tie. Oh, Brother Bob, that's just an old one. My daughter got it for me. You kind of diminish it, don't you? But when someone out of the blue, this just happened. It made me think about it today. I got a letter from one of the couples that I pastored, their family. I pastored in Tennessee many years ago. And they just said, thank you, thank you. We sent them a picture of our clan. How many's in our clan, Susie? Did you count them? Yeah, we got a bunch. Let's see. We're two, and then three children, and nine grandchildren. Do the arithmetic. It made a nice picture. And all of them walking with God. Some level, some freely receive more than others, but we're all walking with Jesus. They're all within 15 minutes of my door. I'm blessed. Put a price tag on that. Some of you can't see your grandkids. I mean, they're living all over the 50 states somewhere. Why did God love me more than he loves you? No, it's just grace. You see, it's a gift. And this couple was so blessed for us, so happy that they took the time to go to Hallmark and get a Dayspring card and say, thank you. That was such a blessing to see how God has blessed you and your family. I was to tears because I hadn't think about them, but they thought about me. That was something I wasn't expecting, and I received it with open arms and with humility. Well, that's the same thing in the kingdom of God. If you expect God, the scripture, I was in a movement before I came in a message that the minister got up one Sunday. He said, I dare God, I dare the devil, he said, not God, to put something on me or my family with the level of faith that God has allowed me to have. If that sounds like I'm bragging, I'm sorry, but I just believe that. Within 5 years, he's no more. Cut his foot. Gangrene set in. Of course, didn't believe in going to doctors. He went to seed on divine healing. Read Brother Brown's books, a lot of them. In fact, that's how he came in the message. But there was a messenger. And he died of a treatable illness. And his family, and the church, I went to the church about 6 years ago. There was about 1,500 people in the church when I left. Huge, monstrous church. You could turn a tractor trailer around inside that place. It's big. I think there were 19 people. And they were believing the message, only it wasn't William Branham's message, not the message. They called it the message. And the whole place was scattered because God will not share his glory with nobody. Amen. He said, well, I'm a nobody. He still ain't going to share his glory with you. See, God wants us to know that whatever he gives us, what if he gave you a burden, a pain, a damaged heart from a loved one who sexually abused you or who who emotionally abused you or verbally attacked you and never loved you, all the things that I deal with on a weekly basis in a counseling situation, because couples come together with all kinds of hurt and they don't know what to do with it, so they just stuff it. But they love Jesus, but they don't know how to love their wife or love their husband or love their kids because of ugly stuff inside and bitterness harboring inside. And yet they're the first ones to tell you, oh, I just love the Lord. He's been so good to me. Well, what about loving your husband? Well, you just don't know how mean he is to me. Or how about forgiving your dad for the years of abuse? Oh, he's toast. Somebody else had to forgive him. I just can't. It's too painful. And my heart goes out to that. But you see, if you've freely received God's forgiveness, then he wants you to do something else freely. We could go on and on about freely given. But it's a gift for give. Can you help say hello? That word in the original language is charis. It comes from the word we have gift. How many are you sitting here tonight saying, well, I've freely received Christ's mercy and grace, except for his grace. Bless God, I don't know where I'd be today. Thank you, Jesus. And what about this one, that one that hurt you, that damaged you, that messed you up? Well, that's different. How different is it? Because if you want that, you see, we're not just going to get forgiven once and then we're back to two preachers again. Just go to heaven before you have a chance to mess up. But he wants you to walk in forgiveness. Oh, I mean, that's like every day, maybe every hour, maybe every minute, maybe every 10 minutes. I don't know. How many knows the Bible? So the Bible talks in Luke chapter 6. And we'll spend some time there in a minute. I better turn there. Let's go to Luke 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, right? Freely you've received, freely give. Luke 6, and let's pick it up at verse, that's Luke 7, excuse me. Let's try 27. Verse 27, this is radical stuff, so if you got a weak stomach, spiritually speaking, you might not enjoy this, because we're gonna look at principles of the kingdom tonight. A very basic principle is freely receive, freely give. But we're going to put some flesh on it. Let's look at verse 27. I say unto you, which hear, this is only for hearers, by the way. Love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Now, wait a minute. He didn't really mean that. He didn't understand the guy that I got to live with. I'm here to say I'm amazed at how selfish we can be. But there's something quite amazing that I suppose if you've been a Christian more than 2 weeks, you've kind of figured it out. And we came in the message, we found out that everybody that says, Lord, Lord, not going to enter into the kingdom. They're not excited about this prophetic message that God sent your way. And you're so excited and they don't want anything to do with it. So maybe it's a revelation to some people that Christians could have enemies. Or it wouldn't have been in there. How can you love your enemies if you don't have none? If just the Bible says, you know, listen, you can forgive somebody, release them from the debt, so to speak, and they don't have to acknowledge it at all. Oh, it's nice. But forgiveness is not for the person who harmed you. Or not for the person who damaged you, not for the person whom you're bitter toward. The forgiveness is for you, for me. And we have an opportunity every day, dozens and dozens, no doubt, of times, to put that scripture to use. Christians have enemies? You mean there are people who curse you? If they curse the Jesus of this day, they hate this word. They're your enemy. Now, Billy Paul said, he said the interesting thing about you couldn't tell daddy's friends from his enemies because he treated them all the same. He had some vicious enemies. He had people that absolutely tried their best, stole from him, rode his coattails, were nothing but whoremongers, cheats, deceitful, liars, you name it. Brother Ben, he had a couple of, there's all kinds of things that God had placed in his path to see if it was lip service or this really was the man I thought I chose from his mother's womb to bring the message of the hour before the end time. Unto whom much is given, much is what? Required. Do you look at your walk with God today as being more than your neighbor, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Catholic? The answer is yes. Then guess what? Your neighbors may get by with some of the shenanigans and the things maybe they did in ignorance. Paul said, I did those things in ignorance, and God had mercy. Other people may get by, and I don't know if that's a good word, but not you, not me. Because we freely receive something that's not just, well, take it or leave it. You know, it's a nice little, neat little message, and all the signs and wonders that were, just tremendous. You got to look back and see what a stirring God did. I just was looking at an old 1949 copy of the Healing for the Nations, or no, what it called? Voice of Healing. You look around here tonight. We've got 125 or 30 people. He would go, Brother Branham would go into into a major city, and you couldn't shoehorn another person into thousands and thousands and thousands. In America! In the 40s and 50s. Even, what happened? God was making a mark. And out of those thousands, he chose a handful. See, God's not interested in what great things you can do for him. His purpose is to do great things for you. And you keep it going. Do you remember when Saul was struck down on the road to Damascus? Someone says, well, what kind of God would give such a hard road a hoe? Why? I mean, he could have just made us have glory, hallelujah, all the way. Why all the trials? Why all the pressures? To know what was in your heart or no. That's what the children of Israel, it was an 11-day journey to the promised land. But he said, I put tests in your way to see whether you'd believe me or not. Is God changed? Is he still the same? You say, oh, you know, all these trials, God did. God allows them for his purpose. He can see around the corner. When I went through the church split and I moved my family from Tennessee to Ohio, and I thought it was the end of the world. I used to say I was this close to a nervous breakdown. I probably was in one. I just didn't want to admit it. But God had a plan, and it didn't include the path I was on. So he had to shake me up a little bit, and he allowed I wouldn't be standing here today except God in his mercy said, that's far enough, Bob. You're a chosen vessel unto me. Follow me. Did it hurt? Oh, still hurts when I think about it. But that's God's plan. I always tell people, if there was another path you could have been on to get where God has you today, assuming we're where God wants us, you'd have been on it. I don't believe there's 40 or 50 choices you have to make. God, the permissive will always, as our pastor taught us for years, makes way for the perfect will of God. Because he figures eventually you're going to get tired of spitting in his face and living in a selfish way. And that's true for most of us. Some of you have known us, we've known each other, like I said, I've been here 17 years in June. I don't think there's too many ugly spots in my life that you people haven't seen. And kind of vice versa. Goes both ways. But we're all still in love with Jesus, aren't we? Amen. We're still pressing the mark. What's doing that? God's doing something. And all he wants to do is us to slow down long enough where we can cultivate that relationship with him. Everything else doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. If we ever get where we don't have anything to give, I'm going to tell you there's something clogging the channel. Because if long as he's freely given, then we got plenty to give. And that's the mercy of God. Now, let's just read on. I'm going to close to this passage. We're about done. Bless them that curse you, verse 28. Pray for them which despitefully use you. And then he goes, unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer him also the other. These are all familiar quotes. Give to every man that asks you, so forth. Verse 32. Now 31 says, as you would that men should do to you, do you also likewise to them. Golden rule. Anybody? The proverb says, if you want friends, you should have a lot of money so you can buy them. Nope. Because when the prodigal son said, found out when the money's gone, friends take leave. When all of his money was gone, he didn't have no more friends. He was left, and he came to himself. No, he said, if you want friends, the Bible says you have to show yourself friendly. If you want to be forgiven, if you want your spouse to forgive you, if you want your husband to forgive you, if you want people to forgive you, you got to have some place. You can't just give it out of your own ability, your own natural strength. That's his deal. Jesus is the one that forgives. He says, as I have forgiven you, so forgive you one another. Now let's look at this verse here. For if you love them which, verse 32 says, if you love them which love you, what thank have you? He's saying, big deal. I was in a church many years ago, and we had visitors went on a retreat with us back when I just, and we were just having a grand old time. And we knew we were charismatic for a reason. We knew how to worship God, and we just had us a. And after all, this one person who was, and we went up and asked him, "Wow, did you enjoy this?" "Oh yeah." He says, "One thing for sure, y'all love each other." In other words, if we can't break into the little clique, the little BCF, us four no more, something's wrong. They loved each other. How they love. And don't get me wrong, it's wonderful that we love one another, but that's not just for us as a group. That's for the world. If you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do the same. What thank have you if you love those who love you? Sinners do the same. Do you realize the camaraderie of sinners? You better not. I mean, I know I've got some really rank sinners, friends that I do business with from time to time. They stick together, put some of us to shame. Because God, you see, and this is a premise that I base everything I do in a counseling situation. God has placed in us, and I used to say it was a desire, but I think it's beyond that. I think God has placed in us a need to give love and to be loved. Period. I don't care if you're a non-Christian or Christian. Both of those are true. And when neither one of those or both of those can't happen, something's wrong. Something has clogged the channel. All right? But he says, here's the same. And if you lend to them which whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies and do good, and lend hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Any unthankful and evil people formerly in the congregation tonight? Did Jesus show you kindness? He says, I showed you how to do it, now go do it. You say, oh, Brother Bob, we need something a little more exciting than this. This is the most exciting lesson you'll ever learn, because it'll change your life, it'll change your marriage, it'll change your church. It'll change your testimony. It'll change my testimony. We all find us kind of settle into a little sweet spot, you know, and well, we're not challenged too much, but we're not, you know, we don't want to get too uncomfortable. After all, we want people to think we're fanatics. And someone never have been able to explain to me the difference between somebody who's shouting and praising God getting excited about the things of God. And to a Reds fan that goes to a baseball game, goes crazy when the home run ball gets hit in the bottom of the ninth. It's a walk-off home run. They call those fans, they call us fanatics. Explain that one. Well, it's all in what's accepted. I'm going to tell you, freely you've received, freely give. Do good to the haters. Now, why did he put that in there? I mean, you mean we got people that hate us? Well, I'm be honest with you. I've got worldly friends that really, really love me. Don't know why. And I've tried to use that as an opportunity to give something back from the kingdom of God. And I'm quite honest with you. Many times there's just no door open. You throw a bone out there, throw a little morsel out there, and it just goes. Whoosh. And yet, we're still friends. We still do business. And I come home and I said, you know, this guy said, I've tried every way to reach his heart for the gospel. I said, and yet he's so nice to me and honest. And everybody, he may not be honest with anybody but me, but he's honest. I said, I said, Lord, how do I reach him? And I might ride to the auction with him. And Lord, today I'm gonna zing him, and we're gonna have to talk. And nothing happens. But the Bible says, just keep. Nobody didn't give up on you. somebody may have. All it takes is that one person said, why don't you just surrender your life to Jesus? And the door's open. I don't know. Keep the channel open. If you're harboring bitterness tonight, if I'm harboring bitterness, it's impossible for me to be bitter if I do what Jesus said here. Right? If you're showing kindness to somebody that you have a grudge against, at that moment, their bitterness is gone. The grudge is gone. And then he calls upon you to give the gift of forgiveness, because he gave you the gift of forgiveness. Christians have enemies? That's an interesting thought. Well, look at verse 36. Be ye, therefore, merciful as your Father also is merciful. Well, Brother Bob, is that still for today? You see, I'm just going to forgive everybody. I'm just going to make sure everything's clean. Wonderful. Will that change the people who've wronged you? Will that change their attitude or their actions? Probably not. Amen. We have Jesus. The first, he taught Stephen how to do it. He says, Father, forgive them. All those lies, all the deceit, anger, everything. Forgive them. Well, they don't know what they're doing. Did they say, hey, get him off the cross. He just forgave us. Nope. Didn't change anything. In fact, they probably got the sword in the next minute. You say, well, Brother Bob, I've got some people that I really, 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 really know I need to forgive. I need to give back to them. But they don't really acknowledge what they did to me. Jesus showed us how to do it. Stephen was stoned. And he said, he had the same testimony. He said, lay not this sin to their charge. He had freely received. He freely gave it back. I'm probably not the only person who's struggling with some thoughts of anger, maybe even. Because someone, when they left, they said, your pastor's an idiot. He don't know how to preach this message. Hurts. I'm telling you, that's a struggle. But I want you to know, if you've freely received, you can release those people who hurt. And that's just a minor thing. Some of you are carrying some hurt that's 40 and 30 and 40 years old. There's only one way to get rid of it. It's first make sure you receive forgiveness, that you know what it is to be forgiven. Little bride, you never done it at the first place. Can we rejoice? Brother Branham made a statement that just rang true with me years ago when I first heard it. And he said, if you've got a sweetheart and you really love her and she could be happier with another man, he said, if you love her, you'll let her go with your blessing. And that's a paraphrase. If you really love her. God's called us to love one another. Everybody can't go to BCF. Sorry. I don't know what God's plan is, but I know he's got a plan. That's peace for me. And we're just going to keep freely giving. Because there's something God has for us. And we started out in our scripture, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. A gift that God gave us was not for us to hide it under a bushel, but to give. Some of you have the gift of forgiveness from Jesus and are struggling with giving that same gift to a loved one or a family member or somebody in the church. Ask Jesus if he'll help you to give the gift of forgiveness freely, not with strings attached. See, this isn't forgiveness. If I've done anything wrong, forgive me. Whoops. If you don't own your problem yet. It's not diminishing the fact that what they did was ugly and wrong, but I choose. Because I've freely received Christ because I didn't deserve it either. If any of you deserved it, we need to have a meeting. Because that ain't the kingdom. There are none righteous, no, not one. We are all together gone out of the way. No one seeketh after God. So who gets the glory now? Oh, it's all to him. He had it all along. He just wanted us to recognize it. What if you... you see, I'm telling you things that are just so incredibly basic and simple that I'm probably boring you to death. But the fact is, God sees our motive. He knows our struggles. He knows our every thought. And we're like Adam and Eve, when after they sinned, they hid in the garden. Hid from God. But we do it. Emotionally, we do. I read this somewhere and I thought it was good. What if you're in the grocery line and my wife had three kids. She had two in the buggy, and Amber was old enough that she'd held on to her long skirt walking through Kroger's in Maryville, Tennessee. She never occurred to her that she couldn't do grocery shopping because she had three kids. She just went. And the kids actually did her proud because they weren't the, like you see at Walmart grocery store today. I want that! I want that! And they give it to them to shut them up. My kids early on learned what no was, and that really served us well. If you're young parents tonight, try it. It works. But what if you're standing in the checkout and your little boy or your little girl reaches up and grabs a candy bar and puts it in his pocket, and you see him. He doesn't know you see him. Now, what do you do? You moron, what were you thinking? That's going to put that back. Oh, maybe that's what we would do. But we want to give him a chance to get things right, don't we? Because we freely received a Heavenly Father who says, I forgive. I know you got your hand in the cookie jar. It's okay. If you confess it, it's gone. I want to be your Savior. And so when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, they weren't going around, oh, God, we got to find Jesus. We got to find God somewhere. Where's Jehovah God? We got to find him there. No, they were hiding. That's human nature. And so you ask little Johnny or little Susie, whoever it is, what's that in your pocket? Nothing. No, he doesn't know, but you know. You watched him put it in there. You say, well, what is that in your pocket? What'd you put in there? Nothing. And all of a sudden, he just sheepishly hands it. And he says, now, I did it, Mommy. I'm sorry. Now, did he learn more by owning up to his sin and confessing his sin? Did she need him to tell him that he had stolen a candy bar? No. She needed him to tell her that he did it. What are you struggling with tonight? Is there things that you know God sees and you say, what's that in your hand? What's that in your pocket? Nothing. Oh, come on, I'm God. I see everything. What's that in your hand? What's that in your heart? Oh, I forgive him long years ago. Oh, really? What's that in your heart then? Nothing. Adam, where are you? Here I am. Well, what was you doing? Is hiding? What are you hiding for? Did God know? Yes, he knew. He needed him to confess. Sometimes we just need to get clean before God. And say, Lord Jesus, my daddy, my husband, my mother, my sister, my neighbor did horrible things to me, and it really messed me up, and I'm carrying a load in my heart. Would you forgive me for carrying it for these 41 years or these 4 months? Because he only gives you 12 hours to get rid of your bitterness and your anger and your wrath. No one says it's wrong to be angry when people damage you and mess you up and people hurt. He just says, make sure you take care of it before the sun sets. What does God want? All he wanted us to be honest and come clean. You see, a hurt or an issue that is not brought to the surface will never get fixed. I remember when I was on that altar, I repented of my repenting. I didn't want to leave one thing out from under the blood of Jesus, brother, sister. Now I'm older and I'm smarter, right? And I kind of keep things to myself. Well, that doesn't really matter. I got more theology. I got more understanding now. God wants me to be the same way. If you got something that's eating away at your heart, let's give it to him. He's freely given you salvation. And you didn't care a whit, and you and I didn't care a whit about him, but he forgave. I wouldn't have any marriage counseling to do if every one of us could get a hold of this principle tonight and go home and pour our heart out to Jesus and pour our heart out to our wives and our children and our friends, our neighbors, our brothers and sisters. I'd be out of business. I was just in Edmonton, Alberta, at Eugene Brown's church, and I did an experiment. He said, I want you to come out. And we gave everybody a prerequisite test and things and try to help locate what was causing the marriage. I had 9 couples that I counseled with one-on-one. I was there for 13 days. And of the 9, 8 got free. I don't know. In spite of Bob. It's not Bob. But you see, all I did was encourage them to, let's lay that on the altar. Let's give that to Jesus. Let's take that bitterness from your daddy. One gal sexually abused from age 10 and a half to 14 by her own father. I asked her on 0 to 10, I said, how much did your mother love you? 0. 0 to 10, how much did your daddy love you? 0. My heart just died inside. Who loved you? Nobody. Until one day my neighbor invited me to summer camp, and I gave my heart to Jesus, and I was pretty sure that he loved me. I said, who's the first human being that loved you? My husband. And he just broke. He was abused by his own father. And they were trying to have a relationship because all this junk was just bubbling to the surface. And they even were doubting their salvation. You see, keep the channel open. But if you're struggling with receiving forgiveness for your sin and for your disobediences, and we've got them, just tell it to Jesus. That's all you have to do. It doesn't take a PhD in LLD or anything, any kind of psychological degree. It just takes a surrendered heart. The same way that you surrendered to Jesus that very first day when you said, I need you, Lord. That's what'll keep the channel open, where you can freely receive and continue to freely give. Oh, I got one thing to read here, and then I'm going to let you go. Well, you say, well, what if my dad's been dead? My grandpa's dead, and he sexually abused me and whatever more. And then I want to encourage you. They can't respond. They can't say, oh, I was such a bum. I've done. And your husband, we got to make reconciliation. But what if it can't be done? I read this before, but I want to read it again. This is a gift for grandpa. This is a young lady. She was in her 30s. She hated men. horrible relationship with her husband, marriage on the rocks, and a godly counselor led her to forgive. And she said, I'm going to write a letter. And it goes like this. Dear Grandpa, I'm writing this letter to share with you a few changes that have taken place in my life. First of all, I want to tell you thanks for all that you've done for me. Everything wasn't abusive, is what she's saying. You gave me a lot of special memories. For instance, the times you whipped up your cream and painted your face. I always fascinated by all that cream. And then you'd let me put the cream on your face. Sometimes I would put a little cream on mine, but you would never let me shave it off my face. I always believed growing up that if you did that, if you shaved a little child's face, it would have a black beard the next day. I think my daddy must have told me that. But he said, I want you to know I'm on a spiritual journey, working toward inner healing with the Lord Jesus in my life. But I'm having trouble in the area of the things that you did to me when I was a little girl. So through my struggle to help me move on my healing, I want to give you a gift, the most special gift I could give to you. That gift, Grandpa, is forgiveness. Now, as I'm reading this, if you want to replace the word Grandpa with whoever it is that God puts on your heart, you couldn't give a better gift. Just fill in the blank. I want to explain to you what kind of forgiveness it is. My gift of forgiveness to you is for all the violations done against me by you when I was growing up. I want to forgive you and release you for violating me sexually. I want to forgive and release you for prematurely exposing me to sexual pleasure. I want to forgive you and release you for a mistrust you developed in me, training me not to let anyone too close to me for the fear of being hurt. I want to forgive you and release you for making me feel so ashamed when I did nothing wrong. I want to forgive you and release you for setting me up to falsely blame myself for something I could not control or make stop as a little child. I want to forgive you and release you for the anger you developed inside me towards you. I want to forgive and release you for the hate and fear of men that you instilled in me, even towards my dad, whom I now love with all my heart. I want to forgive you and release you for making me feel as if I deserved the pain from what you were doing to me while growing up. I want to forgive you and release you for instilling insecurity in me, which I still struggle with. But I am coming to realize that I am someone whom God made special and have a purpose to fulfill in this world for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to release you for the confusion that your actions toward me and for not understanding the feelings I had. The Hebrew word, interesting, family member, that's incest. The Hebrew word for incest, you know what it means? Confusion. I want to forgive you and release you for deceiving and lying to me and threatening me not to tell by saying I deserved it. If I deserved it, why? What had I done? I was an innocent child confused into believing what you were doing was okay. I didn't understand any other way. I want to forgive you and release you for shattering my dream for a happy marriage with someone to really love me. You changed me from what I really was to something I didn't know and I didn't understand. But I have faith that through all of this, with God by my side, there is someone special out there for me who will understand what I have gone through and will love me regardless. The most important thing I want to forgive you and release you from is the distorted picture of God you gave me. You made me blame him for the sin you were committing, which was not his fault. As a child, I could not understand how a God who loved me, and in the Bible he said was there for me and would protect and guide me, could let something like this happen. Now I know that it was not his fault. He was there all the time for me. I was a scared little girl, and I probably didn't listen when he tried to talk to me because I didn't believe what he had to say. Grandpa, now that I have completed this part of the journey and transferred you over to the Lord through forgiveness, I want to make a promise in my heart that I will never bring this up against you again. It is time to draw this letter to a close and say goodbye. Before I do, I want to thank you again for all the good memories that you've given me. I will always cherish those times. Now that I feel better about myself and can accept what has happened to me, I can really say I know what it means to love you through the eyes of Jesus. Amen. A gift. I'm going to make a prediction. All of us have some letters to write. Somewhere, somebody. So that we can freely give what God, what we say we received, freely give it back. And that's a gift. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Father, we don't know how to pray so many times as we ought. But we're praying that the Spirit would move within us with groanings that cannot be uttered. You know our every thought. You know our every pain. You know the gift that we long to give. And the enemy has kept us from fulfilling your purpose in our lives here on this earth. We're not just going to heaven, Lord. We're walking on this earth to bring a little bit of your peace and your joy to those around about us. Whatever's in our hearts tonight, Lord, we ask that you'd give us courage and humility to face the pain, the wrong, the sin that's inside of our hearts. Because we know you love us with an undying love. And you died so that we could be free. Thank you for your mercy that has freely given us all things. Let us freely give back in return. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Can we sing By His Word, I'll Prevail, I think it is. I don't know. It says G, but I don't know. 585, somebody. By His Word, I'll prevail. Thank you, Lord. By His Word, I'll never fail you. By His Word, I'll brother, sister, let's sing that verse again. By His Word, I'll prevail. By His Word, hallelujah, I'll never fail. I'll overcome.
Jesus, how we give you praise tonight, give you thanks, give you glory and honor. Lord, you're worthy. And we think of where we was, Lord, and what you brought us from, how you called us. Lord, even as a child, Lord, dealing with our hearts, we thank you for that, Lord. God, we pray that you just be with each one in a special way tonight. Lord, as they drive home, as they lay on their pillow tonight, Lord, may they think on you. Thank you, Lord, the things that God have been brought out tonight, Lord, that you might deal with their hearts in a way that God might bring that peace and joy within the hearts of each one. If there's anything, Lord God, you know, we know, Lord Jesus, you know what's in man, Lord. Many times we don't know what's in us, Lord, but you see our very way, Lord. You know the way we go every day, Lord. You know what we are. And you know what you want us to be, Lord. And we want to just be surrendered and yielded to you, Lord. So have your way, Lord. We pray that you'll be with each one, bring each one back at the appointed time, Lord. And we give you all the praise and the glory and honor, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, Father, work through me. Hallelujah. hear the call. And I know His Spirit's moving to give my all. He speaks to me, and I agree. Oh Lord, please come and take. I feel the pull. I went to hear the word, and with each line and phrase, oh, He was drawing me to lift a higher. I feel.